So, the mark of the beast, what is it? How do we understand it from Scripture? Well, the primary passage having to do with this is found in Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 through 18, which is really kind of comes after quite a bit of discussion about two beasts. The first of which is spoken of in the first half of chapter 13. This is the one that we would typically call the Antichrist. He becomes a leader of a global community. He arises out of a 10-nation confederation. He ultimately has all kinds of authority, and he does miraculous things, and the world rallies around him. We'll talk more about this in an upcoming podcast where we talk about who or what is the Antichrist, what is the spirit of Antichrist, and these kinds of topics. But for our purposes here, to build a little bit of a background, in Revelation 13, we see a beast with seven heads, 10 horns, crowns, and such. The reference there goes back to Daniel chapter 7, where a very similar description of him is given. Well, again, we'll talk more about this later, but suffice to say for now, this is again a leader who arises out of the nations, 10 in particular, a revived Roman Empire, and he becomes the leader of it and ultimately becomes the head of the global community. The world ultimately rallies around him with the help of the second beast that is mentioned in the second half of Revelation 13, and this is the one we call the false prophet, who is given the same authority in many respects, same power and such as the first beast. The first beast very seeming to be very directly influenced, if not flat out possessed, by the dragon or Satan to do all these things, and the false prophet, like him, has authority and power as well to do lying signs and wonders. The two of them ultimately are responsible for leading the people into putting their trust and their faith in Antichrist, ultimately worshiping him and this kind of a thing. The false prophet will ultimately have a couple of responsibilities that we'll see. First off, he is capable of doing, again, all kinds of lying signs and wonders. He encourages people ultimately to fulfill the Antichrist's desire, and that is to be worshipped above all that is called God, as Paul would talk about in 2 Thessalonians 2. And so this man of lawlessness has by his side a false prophet who not only encourages his worship, but ultimately even builds an image, constructs some kind of an image. And this term for image is one that is used of coinage, or it speaks of a likeness of. And so from these ideas, and the ideas about what this image can ultimately do, we sort of assume that what is in view here is some kind of a statue, some kind of a physical representation of the Antichrist that the world will ultimately bow and worship. And it seems like a strange thing to think that the world, which is becoming more and more anti-God in so many ways, at least in many pockets of the world, it would seem strange that they would kind of come together and ultimately worship at all, much less a person in this kind of a thing. But it does actually make some sense. Because, when the Antichrist ultimately reaches the culmination of his work on the earth, what he'll do, again, empowered by Satan, he will lead the whole global community, except for those that have come to faith during that time. But by and large, the whole world will ultimately rally against the Lord and against his anointed. Ultimately, Psalm 2, for example, talks about the idea that God is sitting in the heavens and just sort of laughing as the world comes together to try and stop the return of Christ and everything. And so we piece together these ideas throughout Scripture, and we sort of paint a picture of what we think is ultimately being put forth in view for us. Well, again, coming back to Revelation 13, the Antichrist and the false prophet. The false prophet not only gets people to worship the Antichrist by giving power to this image to ultimately, well, as it says here, in verse 15 of chapter 13 of Revelation, I'll read verses 15 through 18, and that'll basically bring us to the passage that I'm referring to. And it was allowed to, the false prophet that was, is allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. And so there is compulsory worship during this time of the Antichrist and his image. And it also, verse 16, and here's the passage I was that we're really keying in on here in terms of the mark of the beast. In verse 16, also it causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both slave and free, or free and slave, or free and bond slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark, that is, the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, actually, that number 666, I can't recall how far this goes back, but the basic principle is that the number is derived from the numeric value of the name of this person or of the beast. And so it is, many manuscripts say 666, some say 616. Whatever that number is, we typically go with 666, so I'll stick with that for now, although we should be aware that it could be a different number. Sadly, throughout history, there have been a lot of people that have sort of done the numbers on the, you know, either the Greek or the Hebrew of the name of various, or name or title of various people, whether it's Hitler or whether it's the Pope or whether it's the papacy in general or any of these kinds of things. However that plays out, but there's a number that will ultimately be identified with him. And this number formulates basically the mark that is going to be taken by those if they want to be part of this global community that can buy or sell. And what that means is if you want to go to the grocery store, if you need medical help, if you want to buy a car, if you want to do anything financial, you're going to have to be part of the system. And being part of the system means having taken the mark on your right hand or your forehead. Years ago, there was a movie called A Thief in the Night. It was in the 70s, and it was all about this idea of the rapture and the Antichrist's rise and all these kinds of things. And in that movie, which albeit, if you can find it, I think it's kind of a good watch. It's kind of a cool movie. It was one of my introductions to this whole idea back when I was a young believer. I didn't get saved in the 70s, but this movie in the 90s when I got saved was shown to me by some friends, and there's parts of it that always stuck with me. It's very cheesy. It's a very 70s movie. It's not very high budget, but it got my attention at the time. So if you find it, you could probably find it somewhere. You can watch it. But anyway, so in the movie A Thief in the Night, they literally had an inked mark like on their forehead or their right hand, and it was basically taken as a badge of honor. They proudly displayed that they were part of the system and that they were, you know, in agreement with this figure, the Antichrist, who, of course, they don't think of as the Antichrist. They think of him as the savior of the world. He's come to, you know, basically unite the world and everything. And so we'll talk again more about that when we key in on him personally. But anyway, so this mark, this idea of this stylized 666, what is it? Is it, in fact, a visible mark that you can see? Is it some kind of a chip that's implanted? There's a lot of different ideas of how that could very well be. One of those, by the way, is the purported vaccine that's supposed to be coming out to deal with COVID-19. Is that the mark of the beast? If you're required to take this vaccine, is that like taking the mark of the beast? Now, not everybody thinks that, but there's a strong enough body of people that link this to the idea of the mark of the beast that it bears kind of addressing. The short answer is no, at least right now, from what we can tell in terms of what that vaccine is for and the purpose it's supposed to serve, and even the fact that it may be mandatory that people take it. The fear is, if I take this, am I taking the mark of the beast? Am I having to become part of a world system that's being foisted on us, and is that in itself the mark of the beast? Again, the answer to that is no, insofar as we understand it right now. A vaccine that is mandated for all to take in order to participate, you know, in other words, you're safe, you can participate because you've been vaccinated, you're not going to carry a disease that could potentially kill people. That's how it'll be sold. It'll be sold as a great thing that we should all do so that we can make sure everybody's safe and everything. It may do that, you know. I don't know. I mean, people have varying views on COVID-19. I personally, like many, see it as a real thing. But I also recognize that it appears to be kind of a tool used by the governments of the world to sort of condition people to be put under subjection to their governments. And one day, even as we understand, biblically speaking, a world government, But there's a conditioning that takes place through this process of mandating things that everybody has to be part of. You can see lots and lots of video online of various world leaders tiptoeing around the idea of calling it a mandate or a required vaccination. You can tell they're struggling to get around the idea that at some point, if there are those that refuse to take it, that it won't be forced on them, or that they'll have to be quarantined and kind of kept away from everybody who has been vaccinated. And so that principle, that idea, is a frightening one. The idea that you could potentially be forbidden from participating in the public square because you're not vaccinated. Sort of a way to compel people to have to be part of it. Just that idea is one that is frightening, is kind of Orwellian and that kind of a thing. And so, but to get to the main question, is it the mark of the beast? Are you forfeiting your eternity by you're not in the Lamb's Book of Life anymore if you take the vaccine? Well, as we understand it right now, no. If it became mandated today where everybody had to take it, you and I, you know, either would or wouldn't want to take it based on our particular convictions about that kind of a thing, as far as just being forced into taking a vaccine. But as far as it being the mark, no, it's not. And there's a few reasons why. First and foremost, the Antichrist is not on the scene yet, and so you're not being compelled to take it by the Antichrist. And there's no worshiping the Antichrist involved in it. There's no connection to the Antichrist directly. That kind of a thing. And even the number 666, I know that there was the connection with, I just thought now off the top of my head, I'm forgetting the specific name of the patent in that. But some of the patent information floating around this thing had sort of a connection with the 666. The number itself is significant in regard to its connection with Antichrist, but it's significant biblically in regard to Antichrist when the Antichrist is here. So, there seems to be, from Revelation 13, a very clear connection between not just being vaccinated or being sort of saved from something around, potentially dangerous to the world, but rather you are knowingly joining a system that is ultimately rooted in the leadership of this person. And so that's not present here right now. That's not what's happening right now. So if it were mandated tomorrow and you took it, you would not be forfeiting your eternity. Now, on the other hand, if for some reason it becomes connected down the road with a global leader who's bringing the world together and saying that you can't buy or sell without this thing, and you also in connection with worshiping him as he requires, and as the false prophet will try to lead him to be, that would be different. But that's not what's happening at the moment. There's no evidence of that. There's no global unity around a leader or his false prophet. There's no image or any of these kinds of things that need to be present for this scenario to be fully unfolding. Now, again, as I mentioned a moment ago, though, that being said, the idea of conditioning the world to be ready for that when it does come, that's a whole different story. Absolutely, that's happening. The idea that people are very, very willing in our day and age right now, out of fear of a vaccine, out of fear of a disease, I should say, in COVID-19, which legitimately is a disease, but its fatality is equal or lower than some of the flus, and certainly less than some of the plagues that have struck mankind previously. And so in this COVID-19 epidemic or pandemic, certainly some safety precautions were wise to bring out on the front. But now that we know more about it, we realize that there's a specific demographic that it seems to be fatal for, but by and large is not typically fatal for anyone else, with some exceptions, but certainly no more than any other flus and that kind of a thing. We can see, when we put that together with some of the other elements that are also happening today, the things like ID 2020 or Agenda 2030, these movements toward globalization, toward identifying all citizens of the world, toward removing the idea of borders, but sort of having a global community that are all joined together in our fight against this disease and leaving no one behind, and all these ideas that are on the surface sound good, but ultimately are part of a conditioning tool to help prepare people for a day when Antichrist will come. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying that I believe that all world leaders are looking for an Antichrist. And again, we call him Antichrist. They wouldn't call him Antichrist. But the idea of rallying together in sort of a globalized one world government, a new world order, that is something that is widely known. It used to be where that was just sort of the stuff of conspiracy theories, but world leaders talk about this openly. You'd be hard pressed to watch any amount of discussion on the World Economic Forum without hearing these ideas put out there. And you should watch those things, by the way. Be aware of what leaders of nations around the world and people who are key in those governments who are kind of moving this agenda forward are saying. It's the worst kept secret in the world. It's hidden in plain sight where everybody can literally go online and learn all that they want to learn about it. And I'd encourage you to do that because we shouldn't be ignorant to the times we're living in. And frankly, what's interesting about this is that there are a lot of non-believers who are doing some of the frontline research on a lot of this stuff. I mean, this is not some Christian conspiracy theory that we're trying to support with, you know, manipulating data or something. I mean, literally, you can go online today and you can spend a day and not begin to scratch the surface on the amount of information that's out there on this. And it's spoken of openly. It's being embraced as a great thing. Well, that is in itself conditioning us for something that the scriptures explain very clearly how things will play out. And believers should know these things. We should be aware of this stuff so that when it begins to ultimately become right out there, when some of these things begin to be foisted on mankind, the idea of, again, taking a mark and all of that, we should know those days are coming. Now, of course, the question of will the church be here for those things comes up. Now, I happen to hold a pre-trib view. Not all Christians do, and that's fair and that's fine. And however that pans out, we'll see when it comes. But my suspicion is we'll be gone before those things happen. But if we're not, if for some reason we find ourselves entering into that period, we need to be aware of the kinds of things that are happening. If we're not here, we need to be aware of it so we can kind of prepare ourselves for what's coming and prepare others as well. My hope is videos like this and the thousands that are out there talking about this will be found by those who are around during that period of time, and they'll gain some insight into what's going on. And so, as far as moving toward that, the technology that could support the idea of a mark of the beast is something that is definitely in play. I mentioned ID 2020 a little while ago. ID 2020 is a movement and an organization that is an organized movement that is trying to create a system that will allow every single person in the world to be identified, to have a unique ID of their own for the sake of gaining medical access if needed. There's a lot of good reasons why something like that could be helpful. However, we are aware that at some point, there will need to be some system in place that allows the Antichrist to require people to be marked to be part of a global system. So whether it's through the technology or just the psychological conditioning of being willing to take these things to be part of the global community, that is something that's clearly in play. Imagine a time, I started to allude to it a moment ago, we're living in a time now where people are willing to sacrifice personal freedoms for some sense of safety and security from a disease. Well, if people are willing today under just the conditions we're under, imagine how ready people will be when they realize that they can't go to the grocery store unless they take this mark. They can't get medical help for themselves or their children if they don't take the mark. They can't travel if they don't take the mark, if they're not part of this global community, if they're not part of the group, the part of the collective and all this kind of a thing. A lot of people that don't understand what this really is ultimately leading to will clamor to do this. Now, when the Antichrist comes, when this system that Revelation 13 is speaking of comes to pass, there will be in connection with this idea that you are essentially bending the knee to this leader, who again, as Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2, will demand to be worshipped above all that is called God. In other words, there will be a clear spiritual element to this. There will be a recognition, much like Rome and the Caesars, where you acknowledge this leader as a God, and he's the ultimate authority on all things. And again, as we mentioned before, and we'll mention again when we look specifically at the Antichrist, that when that time comes, there will be a full-blown recognition that this is a rebellion against God as he leads the nations against him. We see this in Revelation 19 as well. So these are important things for us to understand. And especially as believers, we want to recognize that there's a purpose for us for such a time as this. We want to recognize that we should be students of Scripture and understand what's going on. We need to recognize the times that we're living in and the signs of those times so that we can understand that we're drawing closer and closer to when these things will come to pass. Well, that affects the way we live. It affects our decision-making. It affects what we prioritize. You know, these are important things for us as believers to consider. These are not peripheral anymore. This is not something that's 1,000 years down the road. And there's far too much going on right now that kind of moves us out of the realm of coincidence. You know, if there's anything we can look at in Scripture and recognize that God tells in advance things that he's going to do, this is certainly on par with any of them. And so we need to recognize that we're moving toward those days. And secondly, because we are moving closer and closer to those days, as we often say here, we want to be about the Lord's business until he comes. These things should cause us to have a sense of priority that drives us to be about gospel ministry, taking opportunities to live out and share our faith whenever God gives us an opportunity to. This is not meant to be a legalistic guilt trip, but if we understood that tomorrow was going to be our last day, we would totally change many of the things that we do on a day-to-day basis. I may or may not go to work if I knew I was going to be gone tomorrow. I might want to make sure I spent time with my family, or I went out and I wanted to go out for the Lord with a bang or something, just sharing my faith in whatever way I could, knowing that tomorrow I'm going to see him face to face. I want to be doing his work when I finish. A lot of times that's why I preach long sermons on Sunday, because I'm hoping the rapture will happen. I'll be able to be just doing the work right there when he calls, you know, as opposed to just, you know, I don't know, watching TV or something, whatever it might be. I don't know, but I watch TV if you're going to. But I'm just saying we should be thinking about things in terms of what we would be doing if we knew that tomorrow would be the last day. Well, when it comes to the rapture, again, I hold a pre-trib view, which means it could happen at any time. It could happen before you finish watching this podcast. It could be a minute from now. It could be 10 minutes from now. I hope it's not that long, you know. But whatever the case, even if it's 10 years from now, whatever it is, we never know when that's going to be. And so we should be mindful of this and recognizing the times in which we live, which, by the way, Jesus kind of condemned the Pharisees for not recognizing the times they were living in when he appeared the first time. Well, certainly that admonition would remain for us as we move toward his second coming, and even prior to that, the rapture. So there's great work to be done. And the motivation behind this is the knowledge that one day we'll see him. And sadly, so many in this world are going to reject him and rather tie on with the Antichrist. And so we want to save as many as we can. We want to throw that rescue, life preserver out there. We want to be about the Lord's work as ambassadors from heaven's country. So that being said, hopefully that clears up a little bit about some of this idea of what the mark of the beast is. Again, either in the next podcast or in a soon upcoming podcast, we'll look more specifically at the Antichrist, what that term means, and is it a person? Is it a system? What is the Antichrist? What is the spirit of Antichrist? And this kind of thing. We'll look at that more in detail in an upcoming episode. So, as always, if you have any comments, thoughts, questions, insights, you know, I love to read on the subject, and maybe you've read some things I haven't read, so share those links. Let me know about it so I can continue to grow my own understanding of it. So we're all kind of learning this stuff as we read the scriptures and as we look around us. So that being said, I'm so glad you're watching, and that hopefully, again, this can be a benefit. So you can comment below in our YouTube channel if that's where you're watching it. If you're watching on my personal website at parsonspad.com, you can also comment there. You can also email me from parsonspad.com or our church website at calvarychapelfranklin.com. And I always love to hear from you and just get your thoughts and certainly interact with you as well. So thanks for watching. Let me pray us out and we'll catch up with you next time. Father, thank you for the hope that you've given us. Father, we're living in dark times. And even if the things in Scripture weren't happening, Father, we'd be living in a time that is just marked by hopelessness. But Father, we understand that we don't have to live in hopelessness because we understand that, as the scriptures have said, our hope is soon to be fulfilled, that one day Jesus will come and will snatch his bride away and shortly thereafter will establish his kingdom, as spoken of often in the scripture. And that one day, when that happens, there will be righteousness seen and experienced on the earth. And then ultimately, as the scriptures go on, explain all that will come after that. But Father, we know that the end has been foretold. And so we live with confidence in the knowledge of what's going to happen. But help us to live with courage in the days that we're experiencing right now as we look forward to that and to your glorious appearing. So we thank you, Father, and praise you. Help us to be about your business until we see you. In Jesus' name. Amen.